Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Do you believe in the reality of heaven and the reality of hell? The Bible makes clear that both exist. Both are real. And we need to consider a matter that will help us determine our eternity either in heaven or in hell. Few subjects are more important than the one we now have under consideration. I read to you, first of all, from the third chapter of the Old Testament book of Jonah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and the city of Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed the fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, dear friend, we have a lesson here about repentance. But it has to do not only with man's repentance, but also when God repents. Does God repent? Well, it says that he did. And when does he repent? Now, when we think of repentance, we usually think of a sinner turning from his sins. But a sinner is not the only one that can and does repent. Even God repents. In Genesis chapter 6, we read how he repented of having made man. But when does God repent? Now, repentance, as relates to man, means to turn, to have a change of purpose, a change of mind, a change in direction and intention, a resolve to be or to do differently. Actually, a person can repent from good to evil, just as we usually think of it, repenting from evil toward good. We generally think of repentance in this last fashion, going from the evil to the good, changing our minds from sin to righteousness, going from the devil toward God. Now, three things motivate man to repent of his sins. Romans 2 and verse 4 says, The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God's love for man and man's response to God and appreciation for that love causes a person to turn from the ways of the devil and go in the way of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Repentance is not sorrow, but it is motivated by sorrow. Repentance is prompted when a person realizes he or she is grieving God because of his or her sins. He becomes sorry for this. He decides to turn from his sins. A man's faith in the Almighty will urge him to change his mind also. The faith that saves is a faith that obeys. We must obey the commands of God. In Acts 17 and verse 30, The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance leads one into paths of righteousness, a better way of living, a purer, more Christ-like life, a life of obedience. A reformed life is the result of a genuine change of heart. It is the fruit of repentance. And repentance is vital to a person's spiritual salvation. It's one of the conditions for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. The rule is that man shall perish. But that rule has an exception. Repentance is the exception. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Christ said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 24:47. Peter wrote, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Can anyone misunderstand the necessity of repentance? To fail to repent means a person remains lost. One will not hesitate to be baptized when he is genuinely repented, because baptism is a command of God, and when we believe God, we will obey God. One who is genuinely repented will not forsake worship, he will not deliberately sin, he will not disdain from doing good, he will not continue in his sin, he will not be content to remain in a sinful state and relationship. When one repents, as God expects, he surrenders his will to God's will, and he will go God's way. Unfortunately, the need of repentance is a stumbling block which will keep many out of the glories of heaven, because they will not turn, they will not change their minds to do God's will. The Bible also speaks, however, of God repenting. Now, of course, God does not turn from sin, because God does no sin, James 1 and verse 3. While Jesus was here on the earth and in the form of man, he was tempted even as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15. Deity does not have to turn from sin. It is not a sin to be tempted, but it is sin when one yields to temptation. Now God has changed his mind concerning certain things. In 1 Samuel 15:11, we read where God changed his mind about Saul to be king of Israel. God made Saul king, but Saul turned out to be wicked. When Saul showed his wickedness, God changed his mind about Saul and his family remaining on the throne. In Exodus 32, verse 14, Israel was in the wilderness, and they were worshiping the golden calf. God decided to destroy them. Moses pled for them, and God changed his mind, and he did not destroy them. And while God does change his mind, he does not do so without cause. Saul's wickedness caused him to change his mind. The plea of Moses caused him to change his mind. God is not fickle nor unstable, jumping back and forth, but on certain conditions he has and he will change his mind. God has shown us in his word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18:20. He has told us that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And friend, if we obey not the gospel, we shall be punished with eternal punishment from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power, 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9. The workers of iniquity shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but they shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 21. Everyone who is accountable before God has sinned and shall stand before God in judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And unless God changes his mind toward the sinner is doomed. And God can change his mind when certain conditions are met. When does God change his mind about the eternal condemnation of the sinner? Why, that which is recorded in Jonah chapter 3 illustrates the answer for us in clear terms. God sent Jonah to warn the city of Nineveh that in 40 days the city would be destroyed because of its wickedness. Jonah was fearful of going, and he fled. He was swallowed by a great fish. He was called, however, a second time, and on the second call, he went and he preached the warning God had commissioned. Notice that God did not change the message that Nineveh needed to hear. The message of warning this time was believed by the people, even the king. They put on sackcloth and ashes that indicated their deep sorrow for their sins, their fear of impending doom, and they cried mightily unto God for salvation. They turned from their evil ways. They repented. They changed their minds about their evil lives. They turned from their transgressions. God saw their works of faith. He saw the results of their repentance. He saw that they determined to do differently. It was then that God repented and changed his mind about their destruction. And they were spared. But when did he change his mind? It was when man had changed his mind about his transgressions against the will of God. God has decreed the eternal death of the wicked. But God will change his mind, not about his decree, but about those individuals who will turn from their wickedness. To make the application very personal, God changes his mind about our being in heaven or hell depending upon what we do. We have a choice. We have the power to change God's mind toward us. We can leave the service of Satan. We can enter the service of God. And unless we do that very thing, there is no hope for our soul in eternity. God alone knows the genuineness of one's repentance. Repentance is a matter of the heart, and God knows the hearts of everyone. We can see the fruit of repentance in a person's life, but that follows genuine repentance. Repentance is a matter between a person and God, one that involves the spiritual, the inward man, the soul of man. And down through the years, God's messengers have called on people to turn from their evil. How the prophets of old sounded forth the message of God for the Israelites to return to God and leave their idols and their sins. John the Baptist urged the people to repent. During his personal ministry, Jesus preached repentance. Faithful gospel preachers have always included in their message God's command for everyone to repent. We urge one and all to let our faith lead us to repent, and let that repentance lead us to further obedience in confessing Christ and obeying Him in baptism, and in life following faithfully the Lord Jesus, walking in the light as He is in the light. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.